Welcome to King James Seminary. Today's lesson is on Exodus chapter 14. This will be entitled The Crossing of the Red Sea. Let's begin by reading God's Word. Exodus chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. New paragraph. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside Pi-Hahiroth. Before Baal-Zephon. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there are no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it hath been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew unto you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel should go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. So that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and out of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. The crossing of the Red Sea. This is something that has been gone over many times. Let's take a look at verse 1. The Lord Jehovah spake. This is direction given by God. He will now demonstrate to the Jewish church, the Old Testament church, or the Old Testament believers, the meaning of his covenant name as Savior. He is now demonstrating that he is Savior. We know him today as Jehovah Savior, which in other words is Jesus. Jesus is the new covenant name. See Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Verse 2, they turn. Now God directs them into a dead end. The reason was to save them by his power and by his alone. It wasn't by their ability to escape or outmaneuver or outfight or anything. God directs them to a place where they can do nothing. They are also turned away from the direct route into Canaan. Now, Migdol was a fortified post there to keep fugitives who had attempted to escape out of Egypt. And so this was a small fortress. Verse 3, refers to the winding path they took through the mountains. Now, Pharaoh thought Israel was lost. Now, this shows us that when the devil thinks we are entangled, he will come for us as a spider, even as the Pharaoh did here. He waits until we become entangled in the things of the world, and if he can manage to get us tangled up in sin and in bad habits, then he comes to devour us. So they are going through this winding path through the mountains. Now Josephus adds in his book, he adds that it was the third day that they come to the sea. Now on the fourth day, it was told the Pharaoh, possibly by some of the mixed multitude that returned when Israel stopped at the Red Sea, or the report about Israel being where they're at could have also possibly been told by the Pharaoh's military officers who followed or shadowed the congregation. We're not quite sure how he got his information. Now, on day 5 and 6, Pharaoh and his army decides to pursue and bring Israel back. Pharaoh gets his own chariot. Now, his own chariot was recognizable in that it had gold wheels and gold trim on the chariot. The result, if he would bring them back, would be that Israel would have been in worse servitude than even before. And they would have suffered worse punitive conditions. Verse 10. They were sore afraid. Now, if you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it states there that even though there were great miracles wrought by the hand of God, this and the word of God given to them was not mixed with faith, so that none of these people, except for two, entered into the actual promised land. They were sore afraid, and fear comes about by lack of faith. Now the sight of the wicked overwhelmed them, and they cried out. Verse 13. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They were not to trust in their efforts. They were not to trust in their self-defense or abilities, but to fear not, stand still and see God's salvation. Being trapped between the sea and the armies of wickedness, all that they could do was to wait and watch for his promised deliverance. And this is the condition any lost person will find themselves. They will find that they are at a standstill, that they cannot save themselves from their circumstances or their fear, and they turn to God. He is the only answer. Now, verse 14, God fights our battles, so we have peace. verse 15, go forward. Here, they're giving their marching orders. This is at what is on the map called Dahab, capital D-A-H-A-B. They're given their marching orders forward into the sea. Now, this, they're going into the sea, occurs on the seventh day after Passover. And they all are safe on the other side on the eighth day. Now, this points to the eighth day, the new day, the new week. This points to the resurrection on the other side. Verse 19. The Shekinah glory cloud, the Shekinah, the cloud of God's presence, stood between the Egyptians and God's children. In verse 20, it describes it as, it was a cloud of darkness on the one side, but a lit flame of fire to God's people, blazing forth light unto their path. But it was miry darkness to the Egyptians on the other side. Verse 21. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. Now the word east wind refers to its destination. It was going toward the east. The wind is considered the instrument of the division of the water, but the division of the water was really by the power of God, because if you look at the crossing of the river Jordan in Joshua chapter 3 and somewhat of Joshua chapter 4, you'll see a similar occurrence. The children, the next generation of Israel, crossing the river Jordan, and the river itself heaps up, and they cross there on dry ground, but there is no mention whatsoever of any kind of wind. So we know that it wasn't just the wind, it was the power of God that divided the sea. The path crossing the Red Sea was about a half a mile wide. And when you leave the shore of Sinai, that Sinai Peninsula, you will proceed down into a recession, or it descends down. It recedes to about 1,000 feet below the surface of the water. Now, that would mean that the wall of water on both sides was at least 1,000 feet tall. Now, there is a gorge on either side of this path. The depth of the gorge on both sides is anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 feet deep. So we have quite a sight here. We have the sea divided, and a path a half a mile wide stretches across this body of water, which is about 7 miles across. Verse 24 and 25. The Lord troubled the host of the Egyptians, and then took off the wheels of the chariots. He looked through the cloud. We're not sure if the Egyptians could see God through the cloud at this point, but great fear struck their hearts. And these brave men who were brave enough to charge down into such a tremendous sight by the order of their commander, whenever their chariots started falling apart, then panic struck. The Lord troubled the hosts of the Egyptians and then took off the wheels of the chariots. Now this would include the wheels of the Pharaoh's chariot. Verses 26 through 28. God slammed the door on the Egyptians, leaving none. And it does say none. That would include the Pharaoh. Leaving none surviving. Now all the Pharaohs of Egypt took great pride in their burial sites, but this one's body was never found. There's an estimated, or possibly, 10,000 wrecked chariot wheels down in the Red Sea, still visible today. They're visible only by deep sea cameras, and they're down 3,000 to 5,000 feet in a pathway going across the Gulf of Aqaba. So we know this. This is not a myth. We know this has actually happened, and this is an historic event. Verse 29 and 31. 29, 30, and 31. The children of God stand on new ground by His, that is God, and God's God only, by His power and by His grace and by His miracles. They stand saved on new ground on the other side. We have no more power to save ourselves than they had of parting the Red Sea by themselves. Things that are impossible with us are possible with God. Several points here in closing. Number one, the path of salvation is illuminated only by God to His children. This same path will appear dark to the lost. There are some who vainly pretend to follow after. The second point, the salvation provided is provided by God alone. And thirdly, and lastly, He separates us from the world, which is represented here by Egypt and its world system. He separates us from the world unto Himself. We are His possession by His grace. And that concludes the crossing of the Red Sea. Next, we will be looking at the first of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Let's close today's lesson with a word of prayer, please. Dear gracious Father, we ask Thee now that You'll take these words and bless them to our hearts and illuminate our minds. And we ask that You'll cause us to bear much fruit for Thee. For it is in Your name we pray. Amen.